Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, November 11th, 2018. The Reverend Kay Whitney is preaching. Her message is Jacob. The Old Testament readings today are both from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 4 and 15 through 23, and chapter 28, verses 10 through 17.
We're having a second Old Testament lesson today to continue the story of Jacob, and it's coming from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left to Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God. Won't you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. I admit it, I'm a child of the 60s. I have the white hair to go with it. But one of the shows that I always enjoyed were the Smothers Brothers. Mom always loved you best. Do you remember that line? A lot of us do. When I hear those words, I remember the sibling rivalry that the two brothers always had. The cover picture for their eighth comedy album that they released back in 1965 shows Dick surrounded by a dog, a wagon, a scooter, and many other toys, while Tom is just sitting there with his chicken, Frank. Yes, there was a lot of humor in those two brothers. And usually when the brothers would be singing, the song would be stopped with arguments going on between the two of them. But whenever they would argue, Tommy would always get the last word by saying, with a smile, Mom always liked you best. He was always bound to get some sympathy, coupled with laughter from his audience. Not having any brothers or sisters, I don't know about you, but I can really not verify the brother-sister relationships that go on other than what I saw in my own children and how very strongly aware I was of trying to make sure everything was always equal between the two of them. That does not always work. I think those of you that have more than one child will agree with me. It just doesn't happen. So I bet in their eyes they might have been able to relate to the Smothers Brothers and have that same competition for love and for attention dwelling between them and in their relationship. I wonder if the same was true for Jacob and for Esau. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Esau was born first, but it was interesting because as he was born, he came out, but Jacob was holding on to the heel of his foot, didn't want to let him go. Esau grew up to be the man of the fields, the hunter, the outdoorsman. He was also the favorite of Isaac. Jacob, on the other hand, was quiet. He chose to stay in the home fronts, helping in the kitchen as he could, cooking even. In short, he was his mother's favorite. This was the perfect family, picked out by God for greatness? I don't think so, not quite. Jacob, over the years, came to be known as the trickster. And this week, we can see how he came to be by that title. Isaac was old, and it was time for him to finish up business in his eyes, to tidy up the loose ends. I hear that a lot in my visits with hospital patients. They want to finish, tidy up those businesses that are not completed. So he wanted to pass on his property to his oldest son, which was the way things were done in those days. It was done through a patriarchal blessing. Blessings or curses pronounced in those days were never thrown out the window. When they were given, that was it. They stood, no matter what. Hearing such pronouncements from the patriarch's deathbed would be even more important. A deathbed blessing from the family head served as an irrevocable bequest of property. But in this text, Isaac's not dying. He's just decided he wants to tidy it up and pass things on. The way the ritual was to work is that the two sons or the other family members were all called, were to be called, before the father to hear this blessing passed on. All called, and then a feast would follow after the blessing was given. But I don't know if you caught it, but Isaac was only calling his son Esau. Jacob was being left out of the picture. The feast, which would be followed, was going to be produced by Esau's hunting skills and the food that was made. Jacob was nowhere heard on this. Well, Jacob, I'm sure you can imagine, didn't take this too kindly, nor did his mother, Rebecca. Remember, he was the favorite of Rebecca. And so between the two of them, they started trying to figure out how they could change things about. Interesting to note that we didn't hear is that Jacob had already done his first trickster action with Esau when they were younger, when Esau had come back in and was letting his stomach control anything that he wanted. He just wanted food. And Jacob said, well, I'll give you food if you give me your blessing, that final blessing that passes on the birthright to you. Esau said, sure, no problem, probably thinking it was just a childish promise, childish whim. But that sort of stayed in the back of Jacob's mind through all of this, that it was an actuality that was going to take place. I suspect that Jacob was not exactly the non-jealous sibling, that he was looking for a lot more. Well, Rebecca helped him when they heard that this blessing, this final blessing, was going to be given out. She helped Jacob figure out what he was going to do by disguising his skin with wool, wearing his brother's clothes, and he deceived his father by this, whose eyesight was going bad. And I kind of think about, how does the old saying go? What walks like a duck, acts like a duck is a duck? So Isaac thought, or is it? Well, Isaac went forward with the blessing. And the blessing was, may God give you fertile ground, dominion over the nations. May anyone who curses you be cursed, and anyone who blesses you be blessed. And remember, this isn't going to be taken back. This is the word of the Lord. It's a done deal. But God is going to give all of this to the guy that just did the masterful deceit? Is God actually going to follow through with those promises for one who had made a travesty of all he stood for? Well, first, what do you suppose drove Jacob to such deceit? Was it greed? Was it desire for wealth or standing in his family? Was it the desire to defeat his stronger brother? We don't know. But something was motivating Jacob, not to act in a very brotherly fashion, or maybe it was for some families even today, I don't know. Jacob the trickster was one who was not above stealing or fooling his own father to get what he wanted. And that was the lion's share of his father's wealth. Is this a person you would want to have any contact with? I don't know about you, but I'd give him two thumbs down. I don't like being deceived. I want honesty and authenticity when I'm interacting with people. So I asked the question, God, really? Do you want to claim this person and do what you have promised to the children of Israel through this guy? Now, he may not follow through and stay loyal to you. And then, what do you think Esau's view of this whole thing was? I'm willing to bet that he may have been thinking, I'm so much better, so much more worthy of your blessing, Father. Why did you do this? How in the world could you possibly have been deceived? Couldn't you tell that it was not me, your son? He may have been angry with his father, which he probably was, to be allowed into the deception. And it's no wonder that he was all set to go out and kill Jacob the next time he saw him. Well, if you think about it, Esau wasn't really all that much better because he had taken two wives from the local people, two wives who were foreigners. And Isaac, what was his part in that? He allowed his son to go forward and do this, which was against their religious law. They were supposed to take on people who were part of the chosen people. Or he could have at least set up a marriage for Esau, but he didn't. And then Rebecca, she was the one that helped mastermind this whole thing. So you have Jacob, Esau, Rebecca, Isaac. What kind of family is this? One that is definitely dysfunctional. And this is what God was going to hold up to others as a model? God, what were you thinking about? Well, Jacob ended up leaving home under a very serious cloud, but he did get his father's blessing, a real one this time. He'd been given a good cover by his father, arranged by his mother to be go off to his uncle's house to find a wife, a proper wife this time. But I'm willing to bet that when he saw the aftermath of what he had done, he was not really the happiest person in the whole wide world as he fled from his brother's wrath and knew that this could follow him the rest of his days. Well, he was out traveling because it wasn't just a one-day's journey. It was going to take a number of days to get to his uncle's place. And so he was camping out. It was late at night, camping out. And there were some stones on the ground in this particular place. So he took one for a pillow. Stone for a pillow? I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound appetizing. But he took a stone for a pillow and actually fell asleep. And that's what we heard in the second reading of his dream. He dreamt of a stairway that went from earth up to heaven. Now, does this have any reason for being there? The background that you might want to know is that there was, in the Mesopotamian cultures and the people of those times, there was something called a ziggurat, big high building, that did have a stairway going up, and the idea was that this allowed the people to be even closer to God, so that they could have communion with God and know what it was that the gods wanted them to do. And this was what was appearing in the dream. But it wasn't an ordinary, everyday dream, because there were angels going up and down stairs. We don't hear about angels too often, but it was thought that the angels were God's messengers that went out to the world and checked to see what was going on and then reported back to God. So these angels were going up and down the stairs, and he was at the top of the stairs, but the Lord. And the Lord was speaking to him, to Jacob. It was truly an attention getter. you have to admit, even though it was a dream. What does it take for God to get our attention? Good question. Does it take some sort of an unexpected event, like Jacob had? I was visiting one patient in the hospital, and I had the absolute delight, I have to say that. There were patients where I come out of the room and I'm going, wow, this is amazing. But this patient had his jaw wired shut. His arm was in a cast for a dislocated elbow. His leg was broken in several places. He had been in a motorcycle accident, one which was really no one's fault. The traffic had stopped suddenly with no warning. And as he went down, because he couldn't avoid it, he tells me, I felt the arms of Jesus surround me, cradle me. I feel so blessed to be alive and feel it was a call to change. He was so joyful, not allowing himself to get down with his situation and where he was at. The whole room radiated his energy. I couldn't help but smile and take it all in. For him, God had his undivided attention. So I ask again, what gets your attention from God? Is it some incident that keeps coming up? Some words or phrases that keep bouncing around in your mind? Perhaps it might be something totally out of the ordinary that you notice and somehow just sort of gets you. For me, in the last few months, it's been the first few verses of the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm, you only do that at funerals. No, this isn't about funerals. Not at all. I had a new take on it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He restores my soul. Not about death, but restoring my soul, restoration. And that restores my soul has been banging around in my head now for the last couple of months since I left Point Reyes. I'm going, what is this about, God? It keeps showing up wherever I go. It showed up as a theme verse at a summer camp that I went to with my family. It showed up in the main window in the church in Arcata when I went up there for presbytery. It was the theme of a talk I heard, all pointing to the need for rest and restoration that the Lord gives. Well, if you knew me personally, and a number of you do, you know that I don't slow down. I keep running. I keep going. So this is kind of hard. But going through the chaplain program, I'm supposed to have goals to work on, and I had to meet with a panel of people where they verified what these goals should be. And I had laid out my three goals, and they were fine. But one of my friends on the panel said, you know, Kay, you need to slow down and rest. Out of a clear blue that I had not ever mentioned, I'm going, what is this? Okay. So that had to become one of my goals, which still is my goal for the next couple of months. How much longer is this going to go on, though, God? And lately, when I had to pick up some medication from the pharmacist for cold sores, the pharmacist told me, you know, the medication, it's going to do its job, but it will do it even better if you slow down and rest. Are you kidding me? She didn't even know me. Okay, God, I get it. You're trying to give me a message, and now it's up to me to take the message and do something about it. Think of the kind of ways God speaks to me, and it may ring true for you, or maybe you've not been listening or looking, or maybe not aware of when God has been taking to you, because I don't always hear those messages either. God has to keep coming back and coming back and coming back, as you heard, to make sure that I get the message. But Jacob was being given a message from God. And the message from God was, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, the land of your fathers. And it's here that we find the hope of the story. God did not give up on Jacob, no matter how deceitful he was. God does not give up on us, no matter what we do or don't do. Lie, cheat, chase after wealth, try to be the one in charge, the one with all the powerful knowledge, the director. God doesn't give up on us, even when we mess up. God is there. God cares for us, values us, treasures us, each one of us, even to the point of writing our names on the palm of God's hand. Wow. God doesn't leave us alone, but instead reaches out for each one of us. And then I love these last words from the reading, as Jacob comes to acknowledge God, because he had to say something with that dream that he had. It was so impossible. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Sound familiar? Yeah. He wasn't looking for God, but God found him, even as he was running away from his family and all that it stood for. Did it call for change on his part? To walk with God, to follow God's way? With God standing right there beside him, we better bet that something was being called for. And Jacob needed to figure it out. He did start to change, and I don't know if you'll hear that next week. This is where it's kind of, Wendy and I kind of didn't get all of our communication done yesterday morning. But over time, Jacob did change, and he came to know and trust the promises that God gave him. Mom always loved you better, but in God's eyes, there is no better. Only extensive, all-encompassing, get your love going out for each one of us. God loves us. That's the message. If you take nothing else away, no matter what, God loves us. And God is there, ready to extend any forgiveness, mercy, direction that we need as we go forward. God loves us and has no favorites. May we have eyes open to see where God has been at work in our lives as we look back, as we look forward. And may we recognize it with wonder and awe. May we find peace within, knowing that God will be with us always, even to the end of the age.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.